Thank you, brother. As we were talking about how the Lord can, He just touches us in places and comforts us in ways that nothing else can. I don't know if anybody can relate to me, but I've made this statement probably 1,000 times. I enjoy a fire, whether it's a fire out by a campground or a fire in my fireplace. But, Jeremy, I know you would agree that there is no heat like wood heat. An energy pump that is electric, I've had all three in homes. I had one in Carrollton, and I don't care what I did, if it was cold and windy and blustery, I could not heat that house with that stinking electric heat. And then I have gas heat also in my house, and it's better than electric, but it just doesn't quite get there. But the wood heat just doesn't, it gets into the marrow of my bones, and that's the way God is, you know. We look to the world to soothe us, and we look to the comfort of friends to soothe us, and all of those things they're good and they're wonderful, but can't nobody touch the depth of my soul and where I'm at. And whether it's ushering in love or forgiveness or peace or hope or whatever, nobody can do that like He can. Because there is a connection in that we are created in His image. And there is something in alignment that can only take place between He and that thing in us. So just let that just go through you and move through you. I'm going to ask you, if you will, turn in your Bibles real quickly to Genesis 25. I swear, man, I believe I could just let them play that song all day, and we could just lay down here in the altar and just wallow in it as well. I've been messed up on that song all weekend, not been able to get away from it, and not that I should want to get away from it, but it's just been just a real, not only the cry of my heart, but the declaration that I make to everything as well. I want to continue a bit on, not to break away, because this is going to, I'm going to tie this in exactly with that, it as well. To let go of my soul and trust in Him. The wind and waves still know His name. I'm going to tie this in, and I'm going to try not to be super long about it. I wish I was going to be teaching on Wednesday night to develop this and do some expository teaching. We're going to be out of town. Brother Brett House is going to be bringing the word. So y'all just pray for Brother Brett as he brings that. We've been talking about God released a word to us a few weeks ago concerning 2016, and that word that He released concerning 2016 was that 2016 was going to be a narrowing. There was going to be a dismissal of things in our life, that some, I think, will get dismissed from our life, and I think some will get dismissed to the proper place in our life. I'm not saying all of these things are bad by any means, but what I am saying is there are things that we give and we allow them to have a precedent in our life, and they're not deserving of that place in our life. There are things that we put and we give priority and we give position and we give authority to, and we could do some serious teaching on spiritual warfare and the things we give authority to in our lives and all of that. But there are things that are not bad things in our life, but when we begin to put them in a place of government, to where they have authority and they supersede the correct things in our life, that's when our life gets out of balance. That's when our life gets out of alignment, and it puts a real lid on our life. So I wanted to spend just a few minutes, and I want to throw out it's not a concept, it's not an idea, it's just some teaching, and then we'll come back and perhaps next Sunday we'll really develop this. I don't know, but I want us to talk about, in the context of Abraham and Isaac, and then God and Isaac, and I want us to bring that into the principles and the teaching of separating the soul and the spirit in our life. Okay? I threw out a word, and I said a couple weeks ago, and it was that there was going to be a narrowing and all of that stuff. And then I came in and I said something, and we really developed this Wednesday night. Wednesday night was so powerful. I encourage you to come on Wednesday nights. Just really, really, really good And it doesn't matter who's up here. It's always you've always got the Blake House guys that are here, and they're in a place of just wanting to. A lot of them are in a place wanting to receive from God, and it just adds a dynamic. And Wednesday night just really felt like revival to me, and I absolutely loved it. So we're going to kind of develop a little bit of that from Wednesday night. Look in verse 5. In this story, Abraham has his wife Sarah has died, and I would need to spend about 2 hours teaching them to bring you up to this place, but we can't for time's sake. But Abraham's wife Sarah has died. She is the womb of promise. I guess that's a good way I can describe Sarah. She's the womb of promise. And there are things in our life that are the womb of promise. And when I say the womb of promise, they are the thing that is going to reproduce kingdom stuff in our life. All right? It's not going to look like your DNA. It looks like God's DNA. When I have seed birthed out of Keturah, which is his next wife after Sarah died, when she played out and he replaced her with something, and I have seed out of that, it looks like my DNA. But when things are birthed out of the womb of promise, when things are birthed out of the womb of His significance, when things are birthed out of the womb of kingdom, it does not look like me, it does not look like Abraham, it looks like Him. And that's the best way I can describe the difference in this. Because I have gone through my life and I have produced a lot of seed, not necessarily bad seed, but seed that looked like me. And there's a superior seed. You say, absolutely. There's a superior seed that does not have my DNA. It does not look like me, but it looks like Him. And that's what we're talking about this morning. That's what God's wanting to bring to fruition this year in our life. Because we come in and we've got all these ideas of how I'm supposed to be and how I'm supposed to live and what I think's right or not. How many of you know that'll get you in trouble? You know, the Word talks about everybody did what was right in their own eyes, and what was at the end of is destruction. That's what a man does, what's right in his eyes. But that produces seed that looks like him. And the world does not need to see seed that looks like me. They need to see seed that looks like heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not, Lord, let's replicate a bunch of mini-me Jeremy Cranes and fill the world with that. As cool as we are, that's inadequate. As cool as we are, that has a serious lid on it. A very small lid on it. Not knocking Jeremy, we could say many me's. We could say many whatever and all of that. But we come in and we look and I see this and I see this is where we are. That Abraham, he comes in and he births a lot of many Abrahams out of Keturah. But God only recognizes one thing. And many times in Scripture, God said, thy only son, Isaac. He didn't recognize the fact that Ishmael was a son. He didn't recognize the fact that the six sons from Keturah were sons. In God's eyes, there's only one significant thing in your life. And that's the seed of promise. Because it came out of the womb of promise. All right. We can take the principle of promise. Now listen, I'm kind of side trailing just a little bit right here. We can take the principle of promise and we can produce stuff out of that thinking it's right. I believe church has done that for years. I believe church that I grew up in produced seed out of the womb of the principle of promise. But it was not the womb of promise. And there's a difference in that. Because Ishmael was birthed out of the principle of promise. They just used Hagar. They used the wrong womb. Okay? They used the wrong womb. But when it is birthed through Sarah, it's birthed through the proper womb. I grew up on sin management. I was reminded of that this week. I listened to an individual and really released a long and lofty prayer and all of these things. Nothing wrong with it, but it was just so laced with sin management. Me and Lori both got in the car and made a comment about I forgot how much sin management we came out of. That was the whole context I got. That was a principle, the womb of principle, but the seat. The womb of promise is not sin management. The womb of promise is what? Relationship with Him. Huge difference. I tried not sinning because it was the right thing to do and I failed miserably. I knew the right thing to do on when I before I accepted the Lord, when I was just a church kid going through the motions. The only problem with that, Jeremy, is it might have me weeping in church on Sunday morning, but it had me smoking dope on Friday night. How many of y'all have come to the Lord many, many times and say, God, I don't want to do this again. I promise I won't do this again. Whether it's sleeping around or you fill in the blanks, whatever it is. You feel guilty as all get out. You know it's not right. And you say, I'm not going to do it anymore. And then 2 weeks later, you're saying the same prayer over the same sin. Because you're trying to produce things out of the womb of principle instead of the womb of promise. And that's the difference in this, all right? I'm digging this stuff that God's showing me about Sarah and Keturah and Abraham and then what we're about to launch into in this. If you want to see a difference in your life, in your spiritual life, in your kingdom life, these things will launch you, not these principles, but this doorway, and that's what this is a gateway and a doorway into new relationship with Him. Because things are going to start getting birthed out of the right womb. And so, Abraham is a point where he is about to die in verse 5, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. He got it right there. But under the sons of the concubines, Keturah, Hagar, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. But under the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. Now jump down in verse 11. Now I like something. I would really like to do some teaching in verses 7 through 10. Jeremy, I see something in verses 7 through 10. We look at Ishmael and we all want to shoot Ishmael because Ishmael is the Arab and the Israeli conflict. Everything is birthed out of Ishmael and Isaac and everything. Abraham still had a level of relationship with Ishmael. If you'll notice verses 7 through 10, These things that were birthed out of Keturah when Abraham died, none of those boys went and buried Abraham. You know who buried Abraham? Isaac and Ishmael. So we come in and we think that these things that God's going to separate, one reason, one thing that holds us up from going all in and saying yes to God is we're afraid what's going to get cut off of our life. And there are things in your life that God does care about. There are things that God, that in your life, that God is okay with as long as they're in their proper place. Don't worry, if you fall in love with Jesus, it's not going to make you abandon your wife. When you fall in love with Jesus, it's not going to make you abandon your children. Now, if you fall in love with ministry, it might make you abandon your wife. If you fall in love with, I can't tell you the number of preachers I've come through and watched, and they had the sorriest marriage, the most empty marriage on the surface. It looked good, but they had the most empty marriage, and they had the most empty relationship with their children, not because they felt, because they fell in love with ministry. And they fell in love with duty, and they fell in love with calling, and they began to come in, and they began to produce seed out of principle instead of a womb of promise. And so we think and we look in this, Ishmael still has a place in relationship with Abraham. He just does not have the place of significance, the place of importance. Am I worried that if I fall in love with Jesus, He's not going to let me hunt anymore? Nope. That may be taken away for a season. I don't know. But I'm going to Arkansas next week, and I'm confident that I'll experience God's presence in a duck blind, especially when those mallards are cupping. But that cannot take preeminence, and it cannot trump these other things that are more significant. You see what I'm saying on this? Whether it's your career or this or anything else. And so, I think the thing that hangs us up is that we're afraid that God's going to cut these things off of us that we hold dear and that I'm not going to be able to have this wonderful relationship with my family. It's going to heighten that thing. It's going to enhance that thing. It's going to make that thing flourish. And so I just want you to know in a side note again here that in verses 7 through 10, Ishmael still has a place in Abraham's life. He still buries his father. He's just not the... He's more of the side note. He's just not the place of authority. I was sitting and I was talking several years ago to Lyndon from up in South Carolina, and we were actually at Hamilton and we were at the ramp. We were eating supper one night, and I was sitting and I was like, Lyndon, what's your story? And he's a guy that he's just a wonderful testimony. As a 18, 19 year old young man, his father sold a hugely, hugely successful business, and his brothers and sisters got like $9 million apiece, just like right off the bat. You know, that's cool, something to. And Lyndon went and he did all of these things, and he drove the different NASCAR circuits and different stuff like that, and did all these things. He told me, we got talking hunting, and he told me, he said, I'm about to sell a piece of property that I got in Kansas, Nebraska. It was somewhere up in the Central Flyway. It was on the Platte River. I just remember it's the Platte River, so it was the South Platte, so it would have been Nebraska. And he was about to sell this and everything. I've actually got one of his outfitting hats at the house where he still owned it. But he told me they have like a 60-day duck season. He said, when I bought that, he said, I so got into duck hunting and all of that. He said, I hunted like 56 out of the 60 days for like a couple years. He said, in the process, my marriage was falling apart. In the process, my all of these other areas of my life began to fall apart. And he said, now I'm at a place where I am just so, and doing tremendous with the Lord and calling the ministry and kingdom work and all of these things. And now he's using his resources just to do huge stuff in the kingdom and all of that stuff. But my point is these things, what was meant to be a blessing got in a place where it so got in the way, everything else was falling apart. And what God wants to do is get us to the place to where, and I believe 2016 is going to be a year where we're really a launching out year in this, to a place to where God begins to redefine the significant things. The epitome of my life is not what I can notch off on my travel belt or my experience belt or my bucket list, but how can the kingdom flow through me? And God's going to begin to redefine things in my life. And in that, I will stop being so frustrated with ministry and kingdom life because of my limitations. I saw Kelly Morris, I still call her Morris, I don't even know what Kelly's last name. I saw Kelly Morris at the funeral home, and I said, we got to quit meeting like this. Every time I've seen her in the last month, it's three or four occasions been at the funeral home. And I'm sick of feeling inadequate and limited to things that are a violation of God's Word. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of infirmities that are afflicting our bodies just on a physical sense. It just infuriates me. It infuriates me. All of these stuff that are violation of design. And I believe that there are keys that when we get in these places where we stop birthing things out of principle but begin to birth things out of a seat of promise with Him, and Sarah begins to produce stuff from her womb, Jeremy. And then God comes in with that, and God cuts all of our flesh and DNA off of that. That's the next step in this. Then something beautiful and powerful gets produced, that it is on earth as it is in heaven. Because I know that stuff doesn't exist in heaven. Every funeral that's ever preached declares that. They'll come in, and the one common thread, they say they're not suffering anymore, they're in a better place and all of that. And I agree with those statements. I agree with those statements. But here's the thing on that. The Word says on earth as it is in heaven. If it doesn't exist there, then it doesn't have legal right to exist here. I'm just saying. You say, well, I don't think so, brother. That's not going to take me. He redeemed the earth on Calvary's cross. He redeemed humanity on Calvary's cross. He put my sin under His feet on Calvary's cross. And not only did He put them under His feet, He washed them. He said, though your garments be stained, now I'll make them white as snow. So He did this stuff, so now it's time for us to come into a place and be in a place to where the kingdom The spirit man is the governing body in our life. It's the governing body in our church. It's the governing body, not the soul, but the spirit is the one that takes preeminence. And out of that, that's going to cause us to jump to places and live and abide in places where he says, come up here and I'll show you some stuff. And I believe that. I believe that's going to begin to. I believe that's beginning to take place in our life right now. I believe we're going to see it as a narrow, and I believe God's going to cut some stuff off of me. I've heard Bill Johnson say it many times that God's standing there and he's got a spear facing you and he says, come here. And the closer you get, the deeper the spear goes in you. And what he's saying in that is he is going to cut off and he's going to kill flesh and he's going to kill our ambition and he's going to kill our desires. He's going to kill everything that does not look like him. He's going to take it away. I'm in the process with our cattle herd right now. I'm in the process of breeding. You know how we get stuff out of our cattle herd? We breed it out. You know how any rancher, you know how they get rid of the bad stuff that they don't want in their thing? They breed it out. They breed it out. By superior breeding. I know a guy, and all he does is AI on his herd. He's got 90 brood cows, and he'll do artificial insemination on them every year. He does it for many reasons, but he can select the DNA that he wants to produce in all of his cows. We just got rid of a bull and changed herd bulls. One thing, I wanted to upgrade our herd through a new herd bull and all that stuff. But one reason that we needed to get rid of our herd bull, he had a propensity to produce twins. And it was not the cows, but the bull would produce. He would throw twins every year. I personally don't like twins in a cattle herd. No offense to you guys. Y'all have twins. They're awesome. I love your kids. They're amazing. But you know what happens with twins in a cattle herd? Typically, you'll have many things that come in. You'll have complications in pregnancy. I just had some born premature, about 7 months premature. I buried those two calves because the two couldn't coexist in the mother's womb. They will come in, and typically they are smaller and do not grow out as well. And so often a parent will reject one while taking the other, and we wind up bottle feeding one of them. And so I wanted to breed that out. So you know what I did? I'm not telling you to get rid of Eric and get somebody, you know, see what I'm saying? But that's what you do in a cattle herd. And that's what we have to do in kingdom. This is a similar principle in kingdom, guys. Is God wants to come in and he wants to breed this stuff out of us. You say, that's kind of raw verbiage, isn't it, Brother Sid? We're talking about breeding stuff out of us in church setting and kingdom and all that. Yes! Yes! Through the work of the Holy Spirit producing and reproducing things in you that do not look like Tyler Carter. The world doesn't need a bunch more Tyler Carters in all his glory. What the world needs is stuff that's coming out of you and coming out of this union and coming out of this marriage that does not look like you and does not look like you, but it looks like heaven. That it has the spirit, it has the grace, it has the love, it has the power, it has the authority, it has the wisdom. I'm not opposed, and I'm not saying that I believe that the answer to the cures of cancers and all of these other sicknesses, I believe that it is found. I know that it is found in the hearts and minds of people, God's creation. Just like the cure for polio or anything else that they have eradicated. And I think that should come and be birthed out of a spirit-filled believer that is walking and chasing. I believe that God can unlock those things. I believe He can unlock those things. So we don't need to come in and reproduce more of us. We don't need, the last thing the world needs is us to come in and clone Victory Fellowship. The world doesn't need that. They need Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me get in this and let me just hit a couple things. I told them 30 minutes and I don't want to be a liar too bad today. Verse 11, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. I threw something out there to you guys last week. We hit on this Wednesday night and all of that. Now listen to this, okay? Let's even jump past the whole Isaac, sons of Keturah and Ishmael thing. Let's focus on Isaac right here. Because everybody said amen to what I was talking about. The things that you produce, TW, are good, but they can be good, but they have a lid on them. And so the things that God produces, all right, it's superior. We all said amen to that, right? I want you to notice this right here, though. Even the things that are birthed out of Sarah, even the things that are birthed out of the womb of promise, I want you to look at this. When Abraham died, he gave him everything that he had. But when he died, then God stepped in. All right? When he died, God stepped in. And when God stepped in, look at verse 11, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahai Roi, which means the well of him that liveth and seeth me. He lived in a place of proximity here. I've got a note right here, and it says, Isaac's place of proximity were both a result of and a facilitator of God's full blessings. Was he blessed because he lived there, or did he live there because he was blessed? Nick, the answer is yes. He lived there because of God's hand, and it was a place of a proximity, but because he lived there, it facilitated things. I believe that's a picture of our life right here. And here's where I want to launch us, or God wants to launch us into in 2016. There are things that you can do as Spirit-filled Jeremy Crane that is operating out of the womb of promise, which is good. But you know what's going to take it to the next level in your life? You walk in a place of anointing, you walk in a place of power, you walk in a place of authority, but there's a lid on it. You know it, I know it, everybody that knows you know it. That's not a knock on you, dude. You're a good man. I love you. I see good things in you, and I see kingdom stuff in you. But you know when this thing takes it to the next level? It's when God comes in and Abraham dies, and then God steps in the void there. Here's where I want us to go with this. I want us to talk about, and God wants us to talk about, a dividing of the soul and the spirit. I believe and I'm convinced there is a dividing of the soul and the spirit. The reason that we have a lid is because we want to be the one that facilitates that. We don't ever want Abraham to die. What we want to do is we want to get Abraham just as redeemed as he can be. I want to get just as good as I can be. I want to be Sid Garner, man. I am God's man, and I've got this going on in my life, and I can bless them, and I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do all of these things. But you know the problem with that? It still looks like my DNA. It's redeemed DNA, but it still looks like my DNA. God had me do something a while ago that was, I would not do this, number one, unless God specifically told me to, but I still wouldn't do this with probably 99% of the people in the house. Annie was down here in the altar, and God had me come down here, and God had me wrap my arms around Annie, and I don't do that with women, okay? I've known Annie since she was right here, and I asked God, and he was like, not only did he give me permission to, but he mandated that I do that. But what God was saying in that is that I could have come in and I could have got your husband to wrap his, and sometimes I'll do that. I could have got your father to wrap his arms, and sometimes I will do that and say, man, and this is symbolic and all of that stuff. But what God was wanting to tell you, that there is something greater than what this can be. There's something greater than what this can be. And that's you and a heavenly father, not a spiritual father of the house or anything like that, but a heavenly father that I am going to come in, and there are things that I'm going to cut off you that can't facilitate. It can't be that DNA. It can't be that DNA. It's only the DNA of you and what the Heavenly Father can do in you, through you, and facilitate out of you. Okay? That's what God was saying and doing in that. That this is a you and Him thing. This is not you and a Brandon thing, you and a Kenny thing. This is a you and Him thing. Out of you and Him thing, that's going to get great. Out of a you and Him thing, that'll go to new levels. But it's got to be a you and a him thing in this, all right? And so what he wants us to do, what I tend to do, is I tend to come in and I want to get as redeemed as I can get and be as good as I can get, TW. And out of that's going to come great fruit. And God said, you're operating out of your soul. You know what your soul is? Your soul is your personality. Your soul is what you feel. Your soul is your emotion. Your soul is your likes. Your soul is this. Your soul is your skewed point of view. You know what your spirit is? Your body's three part. It's spirit, it's soul, and it's body. That's what you are. You're triune. God made you triune. It's soul, spirit, and body. Your soul is what everybody looks at, and that's TW's DNA. Your body is your physical body. That's the manifest. That's the Jesus that's walking there. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what that is. But your spirit, that's the kingdom DNA that's in you. And what I believe that is going to take us to the next level, what I believe the Word of God teaches in this, is going to take us to the next level, is when Abraham dies, which is your soul, when it begins to die and it begins to get cut away or gets taken to the potter's wheel. You can go to Jeremiah 18 and look at the lesson in the potter's house when Jeremiah goes in and the potter is sitting there and he's working on it and he said it's marred, so he takes it down and he rebuilds it and all of that stuff. You can call it whatever you want to. But there has to be a separation in your soul man and your spirit man, because your soul man at best can reproduce redeemed TW. And that's not what the world needs. And that's what the world's tried to do. Or excuse me, the church has tried to do. Is let's get these guys redeemed and let's clone them and let's mirror them. And sometimes we'll say it under the thing of, this is my spiritual son and this is my spiritual daughter. And we try to come in and we try to make many me's and all of this stuff. Or many worship experience, all of this stuff that where it looks just like us. And what God says, you know what really has to happen in order for us to be able to walk in the place that He does? It's where it comes in and the soul man gets cut away and we die to self. Abraham dies so God can step in. Was Abraham a facilitator of God? Yes. As redeemed man, I can release and facilitate some good things. But I can't, you know what I am at best? I'm gas heat. I'm gas heat. I can love on you. I can encourage you. I can support you. I can believe in you. And I can strengthen you. But there's a lid to me doing that. Because your mom and daddy have been doing that your whole life. Your brother's been doing that your whole life. Your sister-in-law's has been doing that your whole life. But you know what? When it really comes in, it's when it's not redeemed man believing in you, but my Redeemer that is doing this. And that's the separation of the soul and the spirit coming in. All right? Let me read something to you right quick. Everybody turn to Hebrews 4. Let me ask you a question. If you had your choice of who's going to bless you, you rather have Abraham or you rather have God? Why? Unlimited resources. If you had a benefactor and this person said, I'm going to come in and I'm going to release my resources into your life to help facilitate whatever you want, desire, dream, and all of that stuff, had you rather have Warren Buffett and or somebody like Donald Trump as a benefactor, or had you rather have Sid Garner or Chris Meacham as a benefactor? I'm not talking about a spiritual God. I'm simply talking about a financial benefactor. Who would you rather have? If you said me or Chris, you've not looked at our checking account. But that's what we choose. I'd rather have redeemed man operating and facilitating and running my life. I'd rather have redeemed man pouring into me, because I'm fearful of what God's going to do and what He's going to cut and what He's going to separate. What He's going to say is insignificant, because a lot of the things that I have thought that were significant through the years, God really said they were insignificant. He's starting to show me now they're insignificant. They really don't matter. Stuff that I thought was important. Some of the stupidest financial moves, and it wasn't from an ego thing, it was just a thing of, hey, I've earned this, I deserve this. Some of the stupidest financial things that I've ever done has been on cars. I remember when I thought I had arrived, you know, on a certain level, me and Lori, we went out and bought an Infiniti Q45. That's when that was a significant car. And we spent like $40,000 on it. And we were like, whoo, so we had high cotton. Dumb. Stupid. We have, haven't we, brother? Stupid. Because you know what that was? That's redeemed man. That's soul thinking. Man, we was over getting a Leah car one day, and I was like, That Z4 is bad. I saw James Bond in one of his movies in that the other day. You know what that is? I drove home in a Z4. I got me a little BMW, and it's a sports car, and I guess I was probably in my 40s then, and, you know, I'm not going to have an affair on my wife, so by golly, I deserve a sports car instead, right? Stupid! I remember what we wound up giving away, the Q45, to a guy in ministry. Bo Shedd, y'all remember Bo Shedd? We ended up giving that car away, and I don't even remember what happened to this stupid little Z4. I guess it went to the same place my Harleys went to. But what I'm saying is, when we come in, we make decisions out of our soul. Those are carnal decisions. When we make, and every one of y'all's got a list of those too, so don't look at me like, every one of you's got them. But when we come in and we make those decisions out of our soul, we make those decisions out of our emotions. Some of the little attitudes that y'all have, if you would step back and look at them, it is so middle school. I'm mad at him. He offended me because he said this, and they didn't include me in their club, and I don't know the secret handshake, and they didn't shake my hand at church, and this and this and this, and I'm like, step back and listen to yourself. I had a conversation with a guy the other day that is kind of bouncing around some different churches and visiting and some of that. And he made a statement to me, and he said, I'm trying to figure out what church my son likes best. You know how old his son is? You know what I told him? I said, dude, do you realize how stupid that sounds? I said, that's one of the stupidest statements I told him this. I said, that's one of the stupidest statements I've ever heard in my life. You're letting your 2-year-old son be the spirit leader of your house because they got newer toys. And I was not trying to get him in at Victory. I said, I don't care where you go. You better go where God plugged you in because you're spiritual leader, spiritual authority in your house, not your 2-year-old son. I said, man, you realize how... And we look in our soulish mindset, even though it's redeemed man. This cat's looking for a church. He says he's looking for a church. But you're operating out of something. Oh, I want my son. I'm proud you want your son. But you know what your son really needs? Your son needs your God to get a hold of his daddy and wreck his daddy's world. And if that means there's a pallet under the chair and they don't have a single toy in the house, I'm thankful for our nursery and I'm thankful for our toys and I'm thankful for the snacks and all of that stuff. But that's not necessary for kingdom life. I didn't grow up on that. It wasn't a prerequisite. I grew up on sin management. I bet when you went to Mama's church and all that stuff, it wasn't. I'm saying that we come in with a real soulish mindset. Sometimes as leaders, you know what we do, Jeffrey? You know how we err sometimes? We'll spend an hour out of a leadership meeting talking about how to revamp the playground instead of an hour on our face before God saying, God, what can we do to what needs to be cut away in my life? Why does there need to be a dividing in my soul and my spirit so that the kingdom can be released in this house every week, not how we can humor our children with a jumping Joey's outside? I'm just saying. And my grandkids enjoy that. But that should not be the driving force in our church life. That shouldn't have the ultimate place of authority in a leadership meeting. Amen. And we've done that sometimes. Are we going to put sod down? Well, Larry said we don't need to put sod because he ain't going to be able to maintain it. And you got to keep it watered, but it's still going to get tracked out and all that stuff. So what kind of flooring? Let's get 58 quotes on this and this and this and this. And we make all these decisions and all that. And it's driving us more so than how can we facilitate revival in this house? Whew. I'd rather your kids get whacked out by the Holy Ghost because of what God's doing in mom and daddy than the fact that they got a cool new slide. I will vote to put in a cool new slide. Don't worry, we're already doing the playground this spring. We've already made plans. We have had hours of discussion on that in leadership meetings. So we are going to feel safe and warm and fuzzy. But I'd rather your kid get saved when they're 5 years old, the first time they sit in children's church, and somebody releases the Word of God, and it so quickens their spirit because it's a familiar spirit, because they feel it at home every time mom and daddy start praying around the kitchen. Or they see mama in her devotion time and weeping before the Lord, and they see daddy worshiping God around the house. And I had rather that take place. Hebrews 4. Did I ask y'all to turn there? I want to read one verse. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So it says the Word of God is going to do what? It's going to divide asunder the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This next thing, and that's the thing that we're talking about in Abraham here, of where we can go, Linda Carter, and the invitation that we have for new places of intimacy. You know what comes of those new places of intimacy? A sword. And it might be going right through here, but it's going to divide your soul and your spirit. It's going to divide your emotions. It's going to divide your personality and all of this stuff. And it's going, what it's going to do, it's going to dismiss that to its proper place, and it's going to allow the spirit man to rule, to reign, to govern, and to manifest in your life in this world. That's why Jesus was so powerful. Jesus could come. You know why Jesus could come in and say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Because whose DNA was he walking in? He wasn't walking. What does the Word say about Joseph? He was a just man. He was a good man. It says he was a good man. He was a just man. But whose DNA did Jesus carry? He didn't carry that. The reason that Jesus could say that is because, you know what? I have the DNA of my Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I only do what I've seen my Father do. I only say what I've heard my Father say. Therefore, I am the breath of heaven that's released into life. You know why? Because there was not a conflict or a confluence of the soul and the spirit with him. It was all spirit man. Do I think Jesus laughed around the campfire? Sure do. I think they did guy stuff around the campfire. I can see everybody ragging on Peter because he passed gas. And they're like, really? And I can see Jesus. I've got a real human view of Jesus on this stuff. I do. But that did not define who he was. That did not define who he was. His DNA was not that confluence of the mixing of the clay of the flesh or the soul and emotions and all of this. Jesus came in and he said, this is it. Because you know why? Because that is the mirror image of heaven. I was a good man to her before I got saved. I was. You can ask her. I was a good man to her before I got saved. After I got saved, I became a better husband to her. But you can ask her in the last 3 years, since I turned 50, there's something about that. Some of the teaching will say that's a convergence in your life. And the convergence happens between 50 and 60 when things start coming together. But part of it is I am getting to a place to where I am okay, and not only just okay, but I embrace God cutting on me. Not just I'm enduring a wilderness experience or I'm enduring a process, but I embrace the process because I know what the process can produce. And in the scripture, he said the Word, and that Word, the word says Jesus is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. You know what the Holy Spirit is? Jesus went to be seated at the right hand of the Father, make intercession for us. He's in heaven. So you know what the Word is now among us? The Holy Spirit. And he wants to come in and he wants to cut in your life. And he wants to cut the junk off. He wants to cut, not only cut the junk off, but he wants to cut the unnecessary stuff off. When I get meat in before I cook meat, you know what I do? I will trim things off of it that I deem unnecessary. Now, I won't trim all the fat off because the fat equals flavor. But there are things that I will trim off. You do it, don't you, Sal? Are they bad? No, the butcher left them on there for a reason. One reason, they can charge you $10 a pound for an extra ounce of meat, but they're there for a reason. But still, some of it is unnecessary for the end means that you want it to bring out. Sometimes, here's it now, let me throw this on, and I'm closing with this, and we'll develop this some more later on. Sometimes, here's what I will do as a cook, and God does the same thing in our life. Sometimes I will take a piece of meat, and as I'm cooking that piece of meat, I will leave the stuff on it that is there for a reason. Fat equals flavor. I'll get a pork chop, and it'll have that much fat on it, because we raise our pigs, and they got a lot of fat on them and all that good stuff. And I'll leave it on it while I'm cooking it. But before I serve it, you know what I do then? I'll trim it. Because I don't want to serve you a pork chop that's one-third fat. I'll come in and I'll cook it on the grill with all of that fat because that brings all the flavor and all the stuff. But before I get ready to serve it to a guest, before I get ready to serve it to that, you know what I do? I'll trim it off in different stages. And that's what God does so often. We think God's going to cut all this stuff off of us and meet it right at the thing. A lot of times God will carry you through the process, and at the end of the process he says, okay, that had a reason for being there. Now let's cut that off. That might be what God's going to do in some of you guys this year. You ever thought about that? We think it's just sin. It's not just sin. If it's our attitude or our preconceived things or maybe us lowballing. I promise you, y'all don't want my vision for this church. Did y'all hear that? You do not want my vision for this church. Because it is going to be far, 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 far inferior to God's vision for this church. You don't want my vision. You don't want Jeffrey's vision. You don't want Courtney or Chris or anybody else, Jeremy or Brett. You don't want our vision for this house. You want his vision for the house. You don't want my vision for your marriage. You want his vision for that, because his vision is going to look far different. It's going to look far different. It's going to look far different. That's what God wants to do. Let's stand to our feet. Worship team, y'all come on up. That was the appetizer. We'll hit the main course later on this. I found I can't, these things that God's laying out there, we can't hit them all in 1 week. I'm not going to try to. I would do them an injustice and you an injustice. Y'all can go ahead and start when you get up there. Abraham gave Isaac all that he had. That's way better than what Ishmael got, wasn't it? It's way better than what sons of Keturah got, all six of them. They got some good stuff. But that is not the pinnacle. What you as redeemed man can do is not the pinnacle. You know what the pinnacle is? What the kingdom, what heaven can do through you. Not redeemed man DNA, but heaven DNA. Jesus DNA. Holy Spirit DNA. Because ultimately what will happen with redeemed man DNA, It tends to look like glorified TW. And I don't mean prideful TW. I mean cleaned up TW. And that's good. I like that. I like you, and you're a great guy. I believe you love your wife, love your kids. Man, I saw him out with his kids at the restaurant last night going on a date with his kids. I call it a date. I don't know what y'all call it. I call it a date. We're going to dinner and a movie. You had a date with your daddy last night. Sorry Ryland hung along, but you know what? You had a date with your daddy last night. That's awesome. I dig that. But you know what's even greater? Is when the TW DNA gets trimmed and carved and pulled away so he doesn't so much look like TW, But he looks like that father. Not his earthly father. That father. That is when it changes the world. Redeemed TW is a good influence on the world. It's better than the other stuff out here. But that other place, Lehi Roy, whoo, that's where it's at. And that place only happens after Abraham dies. That place only happens when TW gets on the potter's wheel. The abiding of the soul and spirit. And we're going to develop that in detail later, but that's when that happens. So if you're here today and you're frustrated because of the lids in your life, let's just put it like that. You say, man, I'm in a pretty good place. That's good. But what's the lid on that? What's the lid? What's the potential on that? I like being in this place, brother. Good. What's the lid on that, though? If it's a small lid, then you've got to allow him to tear it off. That Abraham die so that God steps in and blesses. So God steps in. It's basically changing the government. Who's in charge? We do need a government change. And it's not red or blue. You know what government change we need? Spirit over soul. Because my soul dictates my actions. My soul dictates my attitudes. My soul dictates what I do next week. But when my spirit man begins to rule, when my spirit man begins to govern, that's when the lid really gets tore off. So if you need to respond to that, I'm going to ask you just come on. I'm going to ask you to come on. If you're satisfied where you are, then I pray that a hunger will change that. But if you're not, I'm going to ask you to come on. Say, God, start cutting. God, I put myself on the potter's wheel. God, I come to a place where you start carving on me. Carving on me. Because at best, I'm redeemed man. At best, I'm redeemed man where I am. But God, I know there is more. I know there is more. Because I'm not walking in these places that the Word says that I can and I should. Greater works than these shall you do. Because if you need to move, then I ask you to move. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. Draw us, stir us, call us to come here. Even if there's a sword between us and you, that we would say yes. That we would say yes in Jesus' name. Go ahead, guys.